points that started this whole journey with me over 20 years ago, questioning the pre-trib rapture. And it does matter. It absolutely does matter. They both can't be right. This is perfect. Man is a liar. This is perfect. So they both can't be right. The pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, only one of them could be right. And to me, this is an amazing thing that we're in the resurrection.
Yeah.
Last week and this week that we're in the resurrection. And it all starts with his resurrection.
Amen.
And the promise is that we're going to be resurrected like unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, to me, I think what, like Asha and Mark, is what has helped me is understanding this, that this is the event. This is the seven-year event, right? But we look for markers.
Right.
And we saw markers. We saw that we were going to see this event, the abomination of desolation. And it seemed like everything pointed to Christ appearing here.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we looked at the resurrection. I don't think many of you... And the resurrection, to me, was pointing to here once again. Because if you have your sheet from the resurrection, we'll look at it. And remember, the on C on your sheet there, it's for that world. So you're not going to be resurrected into this world.
Yes.
When word of the resurrection comes, it's for that world too, right?
Yes.
Which means there are unbelievers in that world too, so they have to survive the regeneration of the first two at that time. So, like I say, on C, remember, it says that they which are accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, that Ash is a key word. Raised means a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So raised, risen, rise, those are resurrection words that when you read your Bible, that's what that's talking about. So that's all I want to say about that is remember, everything seems to be pointing towards the end of the 70th tribulation. So if you just look at Revelation 6 in your Bible, so Revelation 6, 9, and then on your sheet you have Revelation 7, 9. So Revelation 6, 9, right? It says, and he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls. They're not resurrected. They're right. in their spiritual bodies, their soul, and of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So here's the key to it. And white robes were given. So what are these white robes? I like how Lauren said it. Your white robes are your resurrection.
Right.
That's your body that you are going to be given at the resurrection. So white robes are given unto them. Right?
Well, yeah. This, I'm sorry, I'm not running down a rabbit hole here, but when Jesus talked about the marriage feast and all the folks that came into the feast, and there was one found without his wedding garment.
That's right.
All right, so everybody else had their white robe on.
That's right.
And the ones who, they came, he was resurrected, he was invited, he came to the wedding ceremony, only he wasn't garbed in righteousness.
That's right.
I never thought about
it. Absolutely. Goes along with the wheat and the tares. Mm-hmm. Go read the. Jesus gave us the parables for us to understand the kingdom of God, not for them. So when you read the parables, you will see how this plays out. The wheat and the tares, they both grow together.
Mm-hmm.
And at the harvest, one turns white, the other one turns burnt.
Right.
Both are resurrected. One is a resurrection for eternal life with Christ and his kingdom. The other is a resurrected body for eternal damnation, suffering.
Right.
So it's all the same resurrection. So remember that it says white robes were given. They're not clothed, and they're being martyred, right? Okay, so, and then...
So, on 6:9 there, where it says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So these are martyred saints, right?
Yeah.
What about the saints who were not martyred?
Well, everyone's in heaven, right? There's a special place for the martyred under the altar.
So this is a special place for the martyred
saints.
But everyone
is under the sea of clay. Everyone is under the altar, but there seems to be a special place for martyrs.
For martyrs, that's what I was wondering. Well, when I read that, it seems like there's a special place.
And there's a special reward for those who are martyrs.
Absolutely. And I think that's the idea there. The altar says under the altar. Don't forget, the kingdom of heaven is dimensional, and it expands, its depth. It's hard to explain it. But right now, nobody is standing on the sea of glass. Everyone is under it, waiting for the resurrection day. So that was the point I was making. So remember that white robes are given. So I don't even want to get into Friday, but God is not going to raise the body up that goes into the dirt. He's not going to get the molecules together and put them back together. What up is of the earth is earthy. That is sinful. That is dustful. He has a better resurrection for us in heaven. Where did these white robes come from? They're already in heaven. They're already in heaven. And 1 Peter says that our reward is in heaven. The resurrected body is in heaven. He already has a body prepared for us in heaven that he's going to clothe us with when he comes.
Right.
So Revelation, on your sheet there, Revelation 7:9, number 2 there. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, people, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood. So now they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed. So now they're clothed. What happened between the martyring and this here? Well, the rapture happened. Because now you're clothed with white robes. And you'll even see that in Revelation 7:13, number 2. As you go down on your sheet, number 2, 7:13 and 14, and one of the elders answered unto me, saying, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? So here's tribulation, and actually tribulation always extends here, right?
Right.
You said it. We've always been persecuted. So when this starts, it's hard to tell because they blend. This is the event, the abomination of desolation, that we see that the great tribulation starts. That's great. That's great persecution. Okay? So when is the resurrection? And the resurrection and rapture are the same event. So clearly it's there. So to me, this is interesting. I don't, like Mark's saying, that we're all gathered here in this place, and we're studying the resurrection last week, and we're finishing it up this week, on this day.
Yeah.
Does anybody think this is a coincidence? come on! The Holy Spirit is here.
Yeah.
He is here in this place. He is gathering people together for what is going on in that world. That chance yesterday to talk to that girl, I'm just a guy in a little corner of Bristol, New York, and God says, okay, I want you to witness to her. I'm going to bring her to you. But we're going to be available tell people this. And like we were saying Friday, now that you're understanding this, you're in the game.
Well, the thing is, you can't go back.
That's right.
Once you've seen it,
it's
been illuminated to you, that what you've been taught for so many years has a lot of flaws in it.
That's right.
And I also want to say that the people who taught it to you did not do it out of maliciousness.
It wasn't intentional.
It wasn't. They were taught incorrectly, and they erred in what they were taught.
Right.
Okay? And that's really what it was. They just, you look at the great biblical scholars or whatever, some of them do intentionally teach incorrectly. But the far majority of us that came out of small churches, I don't want to cast any of your pastors that you came under the bus. I believe that they loved him.
Yeah.
They were just taught wrong, and they taught incorrectly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hateful thing to make you miss the truth. All right? And I just want to say
that. Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, where I came from, Kevin knows that he was a great friend of mine. I loved him. They did not want to hear this.
Right.
They do not want to hear this. I mean, a church of 120, 150 people, and you couldn't get this many people at a Bible study.
Yeah.
You couldn't get this many guys at a Tuesday night men's group. And I've tried for years. He's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I've tried for years to warn him. This is coming. You need to warn your flock. Right? They don't want to hear it. And so I think I got to the point where the Lord said, it's time for you to move on now. Okay? And I left him a testimony that this thing is coming. You can keep trying to avoid it, but it's coming. And it is your responsibility. They're not your flock. They're his flock.
Amen.
And you are to warn them. So before we move any farther, this is what we're looking for. We are this day here when he rose from the dead and he ascended up. And this is the promise that he's coming back for us. And that's why I say, I want to remind you, don't be discouraged. We've talked about some things about being persecuted and martyred. Do not be discouraged by that.
Amen.
He's coming for us. That's a crime. He's already been here once. He took the sins. He's gone up to heaven. And this is what, I just want to talk about this for a second before we move on. This is what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to seeing him again.
Right.
I said it Friday. If he's not there, I don't want to go.
Right.
I have family that's here. My mom and dad. I want to see my Savior appear in the clouds, the one that paid it all for me, the one that has been so kind to me in my life that I don't deserve it. I want to see him.
Right.
And if he's not there, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So I need five people that want to read. Daniel 7, 9-14. Ash. Malachi 3:1-3. Lauren? Revelation 1:13-18. Nancy? 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. And Val? Revelation 21:1-4. We'll go in that order, too.
Okay. Or Daniel 7:19-14. I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like a pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld, then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld, even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
That's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Who's got Revelation 1? seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, gold with a garment round the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His hat.
You got First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. No, you got it.
All right. Gold with a garment round his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance is like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death."
Nancy.
I thought I was going to read 13 through 18. What was the next?
First Thessalonians 4, 16.
So it threw me off. Okay.
First Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Comfort one another. He's coming. He's coming for us. Val?
21, 1 through 4?
Yeah.
Revelation. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away."
Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. Are those verses beautiful?
Amen.
That is the promise. That is what's coming. That's what's coming for us. And I say it all the time. Who cares what they do to us?
Amen.
This is the promise. As I would not want to be one of them doing to your precious to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I would not want to be one of them that are persecuting you or martyring you when they stand before God. So to me, this whole thing is about, if you want to turn to Romans 8, I sum this whole thing up. I'm going to go through, I'll skip through some verses for the sake of time. But did that not move you, those verses? Come on. God loves us. He absolutely loves us no matter what they do to us. And we were told, I brought it up Tuesday, me and Jake were told, well, you people are in the minority. You people are in the minority.
Praise God.
And I said, praise God, because you know what? Jesus was in the minority.
Yeah.
Most of the religious leaders and the people rejected Jesus. Mm-hmm. Most of the churches in Nazi Germany turned on the Jews. Right. Most of the people in Israel rejected the prophets.
Right.
Good. I'm glad we're in the minority. So you know what's happening today? Most churches that we call fundamental churches that we associated with that came out of, mm-hmm. they don't want to hear this. Right. We're in their minority too. Now, like you said, I don't know. It's not for me to judge what pastor is ignorant of it, mm-hmm. and which is malicious. But they know, a lot of them know, there is something wrong
right.
with what
yeah.
they're preaching.
Yeah.
Can I make an observation? Just, I was listening to Revelation there, but you know, when John sees Jesus at Calvary, he's all bloody, he's got the crown of thorns, and his head is all red, because though your sins be as scarlet. When we saw him in Revelation, his hair is white as snow.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Right? Yeah, is there an ad?
And lift it higher, we won't see it.
Go ahead, Bill.
Lord works with remnants, not
that's
minorities
right.
even, just a remnant.
That's right. Kev? The servant is not above the master.
There you go.
If they've hated me, they'll hate you. If they persecute me, they've persecuted you. I'm going through the Fox's Book of Martyrs for about the fifth time.
Yeah.
They did not care.
No.
They did not care. They knew they were going to step into glory and see their Savior. They did not care. That's all I'm saying. I don't be discouraged by this. There are so many people that are being discouraged. This could be the church's greatest hour, greatest time.
It will be.
It will. It's right. You know, it will.
And we need to hold on to that as a confident thing. Our faith needs to be in that. Yes, there will be the majority of the true believers in Jesus Christ will die, but that's okay. Because absence from the body is presence with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I would just as soon be under the altar or under the sea of glass until the day of resurrection, and I get to put on the right clothes.
That's right.
Or if God sees to it that I last until the very last moment on this earth in some concentration camp somewhere, it is well with my soul.
Amen.
Because there is a reward coming. There is a payout. Because Christ rose from the dead, the first fruits.
That's right.
And we'll be with him.
And it's a promise.
Yeah.
Well, I had a chance with Shelley. I know everyone sees the analogy of it, but I had a chance with Shelley to show her yesterday. I said, let's say this whole thing, this piece of paper, is eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is your life
yeah.
on this earth.
Yeah. Small.
This means nothing. This means everything. Everyone lives forever. And he did not say there's purgatory. She came out of Catholicism. He never said there's purgatory. When he shows up and rips the veil between heaven and earth wide open and the dimension of the kingdom of heaven is open to us, that's it. It's over. There is no more second chances. Either you're for him or against him. And from what I can see, the path is narrow. All right, so Romans, and this to me sums the whole thing up. Imagine if we're living in that time that everything's been waiting for the second coming of Christ to restore all things. If he has you living at this time, that's a blessing, no matter what they do to us.
Amen.
So Romans 8, if you just pick it up at 11. But the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. 18 and 19. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. 22 to 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits, Pastor, the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. 34 to 39. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to finish it.
Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's our promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's the promise that I'm clinging on to. When I first started understanding these things, I kept saying, I'm not Rambo. I'm not some warrior. How can I overcome this? And he's saying,
I'm going to get you through this. Don't you worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that was a blessing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we're looking for. That day is coming, and when he appears, we're going to be resurrected with him. You're going to get your new body. My back was killing me yesterday. This one is just about had it.
Are you wearing out?
Okay, so our resurrection sheet, we're going to go back to this. Okay, resurrection sheet. And last week we left off at the end there, number 8 on the back side of it. Right? Okay, so when you read, and a lot of people are confused over Revelation 20. Just turn, let's get it on your sheet. Let's just look at Revelation 20. And there's a misunderstanding here that people, because it sounds like there's more than one resurrection, but that's not what it's saying. 24, okay? And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither its image, nor received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So now you get a timing for this, right, Ash?
Yep.
There's a timing here. They lived and reigned for 1,000 years. So this resurrection starts the millennial reign, right? Here's the 1,000-year reign. This starts it, okay? But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And people stop there and they're saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Is there more than one resurrection? But you've got to read verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who hath part of the first resurrection, that the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So one resurrection, the first, it's on the same day. The first part are blessed. The second part are unblessed. That's it. There's one resurrection. So look who gets resurrected first. The ones that didn't take the mark.
Right.
So how can there be a pre-trib rapture, Wendy, when the ones who didn't take the mark?
Yeah.
They get resurrected first. So in other words, there's an...
No, are you okay?
I don't know.
I don't believe in preacher.
No, I know. I know that. I just... So in other words, there's an order to the resurrection.
Right.
There's an order to it. John 5:28. You don't have to turn there. It's on your sheet. Number 3 there. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming that all are in the graves. The graves are dead. They're dead people. Shall hear his voice, and some shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. It's the same resurrection, the blessed and the unblessed. He says it's within the same hour. I just believe my Bible. Look at the next one, Acts number 4 there, Acts 24:15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also love, that there shall be a resurrection of both the dead, of both the just and the unjust. One resurrection, two people, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blessed and the unblessed, the just, the unjust. John says it's the same hour. Look at Dan, the next one, Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. It's the same event. The blessed, the unblessed. Does it make us? So there's this idea that people are going to be resurrected again 1,000 years later. That's not what it's saying. It says that they didn't live. What does that mean, that they didn't live? It's that they didn't stand before God again.
Yeah.
The next step, they're dead. They're twice dead.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been resurrected unto death, damnation. That's twice dead. We'll see it right here.
Revelation 21. This is the second death. Revelation 21, 13. And the sea gave up its dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man out of their works. Mm-hmm. This is a great way for own judgment. See, when Christ comes, everybody is already judged on where you stood with him. Did you believe in him or did you reject him? That is your eternal judgment. The great white throne judge, the books are now open. And it's only for the unbeliever.
Right.
That's when they stand before God Almighty at the great white throne judgment. And they're judged according to their works. They're already resurrected. So what does it mean to be resurrected to the second death? Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So, when people die, they go to hell. That's not the lake of fire.
No. It's shallow.
It's shallow. That's right.
Yeah.
The lake of fire is outer darkness, whereas eternal destruction, eternal suffering, torment. That's the great right there. Don't forget, during the millennial reign, there are unbelievers living on the earth with us.
Mm-hmm.
Death and hell are still in the earth. Mm-hmm. They're there. At the great white throne judgment, he now brings up all the unbelievers and he judges them according to their works.
Okay, now the saints that are trusting in Christ Jesus for the millennial reign, right? We are working with God, right? And then at the end of that millennial reign, the resurrection happens?
Everybody's resurrected when he comes.
All right. Yes.
Right.
That's what I was just.
When he says that the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are over, that's the unbeliever.
Right.
That is the unbeliever. And what does that mean, live not again? It means that they didn't stand before God again. When Christ comes, I don't know, this is a gray area for me. I don't know who God decides stays on the earth and who goes back down into hell.
Mm-hmm.
But at the great white throne judgment, all the unbelievers are being brought up. And now they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell are brought up before him.
But it's just like the rebirth, being born again.
Yeah, yeah.
Now think about that. Because we all understand accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. You were an enemy of God, now you're a friend of God. You were against God, and now you're for God.
That's right.
And the resurrection is the same thing. Either you are already in Christ, or you're the enemy of him. He calls
right.
the one who's not born again dead.
Yeah.
You are dead in your trespasses and sin.
That's right. And that's what people don't understand. What does it mean to be resurrected unto death?
Yeah.
That does not mean you're laying there in your grave dead. It means you're alive, but you're damned.
Yes.
That's what the death is. That's what resurrection of death is, that you're damned.
Well, even Lucifer was conquered
right.
on the cross.
That's right.
But he's still not put away.
That's right. Everybody lives forever.
Yeah.
Everybody does. All of them. So whether you've been resurrected unto eternal life, which is us, new bodies, we talked about this, the wheat and the tares, the golden wheat, or you've been resurrected unto damnation, the second death. You've both been resurrected, and like we said, if Christ is coming and he's regenerating the earth with a purifying, refining fire, you need a body to survive that.
Mm-hmm.
But so does the unbeliever.
Right.
But their body is for burning. And suffering, while yours is glorified. You're going to be like Christ. We just read the verses. That's what we're going to look like. I personally, this is opinion, I think your body is going to look like, except that it's going to be glorified. I think we're going to look the same, except glorified. That's an opinion. So to me, you can see right now, there's an order to the resurrection too, but it is within our.
Right?
Right? So Revelation 24 says they're martyred first, right? And then Revelation 6, remember we just read it, 6, 9 through 11, says the ones under the altar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 24 says there's thrones.
Right.
It's us, right? We're kings. We're not told that we're evangelists during the millennial reign.
Priest.
There's nobody to evangelize. I'll prove it. There is no more childbearing. There are not people that survive it. I can prove it. Everybody, that's what the warning is. Be careful that you're not pregnant at that time because the baby's going to come out of the womb. the baby gets resurrected too. And everybody, that child will now grow, whether they were judged as a believer or an unbeliever. How he does that? He's God Almighty. He knows who chooses him and who rejects him.
And so during the millennial reign, there'll be no children born?
That's it. No, I'll prove it. We will prove that. So the next group is thrones, kings, and priests, right? That's 1 Corinthians 6. And we can look at it if you want.
No, but same one, I'll look at it at home.
Okay. I don't know if you can have them on your sheet. I might have did this afterwards. Anybody got a whole bunch of writing?
Yeah, you have mine writing.
Okay, so those, so you can look at them.
May I ask a question?
No.
I don't need to actually. I can wait till you're done with the complete document.
Okay. So, and then Revelation 26. So, the ones that are on the earth is the last group raptured. They're the last ones resurrected. Everyone else that is in heaven, they get resurrected first. And it's actually the group that's on the earth that are the last ones. They have it backwards. This is what I started noticing about pre-trib and dispensationalism. They have it backwards. They got you believing you're going to be driving in your car listening to Robin Mark or whatever, Amazing Grace, and you're gone. That's not how it works. They have it in reverse. As a matter of fact, they'll tell people, well, make sure you leave a Bible tract in your purse, in your pants pocket. So, you know, for a witness. Are you kidding me? They make it sound like billions of people are going to be raptured. When I read it, it sounds like very few make it to the rapture. Because you read your book of Revelation, there's a lot of slaughtering going on.
A lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. 2/3 of the human population, from what I can calculate.
That's right.
2/3 are going to be gone.
Yeah.
But that's before the in-person wrath of Christ, which takes out a lot.
That's
right. Which takes out.
Yeah, and don't forget, too. We do. A lot of us are going to pay the price for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a remnant that is delivered through it, that is taken and set aside and brought somewhere and watched over by Christ.
Right.
So that nothing happens to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's who. That's up to him.
Right.
However he wants it. Personally, I don't know. I sound like a goofball. There's something to being martyred.
Yeah, there is.
There's what?
There's a reward that only the martyrs get. Only the martyrs are underneath the altar of God.
Yeah.
Only those who are sacrificed for their testimony of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, the ones who just died as a saint, I mean, you're still with the Lord. I mean, praise God, but there are different rankings.
There's different
depths of hell.
It's right. Yeah, that's why they're judged according to their
works.
In the great, because there is different levels of suffering for them, too. That's why the books are open. Well, the book is open, whether you're written in it or not.
Yeah.
So there's clearly, when Christ appears, the book is open.
Right.
And if you're in it, what does it take to be in it? What does it take to be in his book?
You must trust in the Lord God. You must trust in his word.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
All right? He's taking the simple of the world to just...
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say anything about doing jumping jacks and flips and... You know, go witnessing and putting notches on your belt. We're told just to believe with your heart, not your mind, that he actually paid the price for your sins, and now he comes. I didn't do this. I was telling the girl yesterday. I said 30 years ago, I would have been hitting on you.
Yeah.
Now my heart is pouring out for her soul.
Right.
What happened? Right. I didn't do it. I just said I'm a dirty, filthy sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. And he has. He did this. He's given me a heart for people now.
Yeah.
I was one of those self-centered people on the face of
the
earth. I was wondering, how could Paul be worse than me?
Yeah. Well, the only reason Paul could write that is I wasn't born yet. Okay? When he said it in his day and time, yeah, he was the worst. But it was years before I came. So.
Okay, so the second death, this is something that's interesting. The second death is resurrected unto damnation. And I actually want to look at some verses that prove that. So we just read 13 to 15, and if you look at Revelation 21, 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And I'm going to take a rabbit hole here. Read the parable of the talents.
Right.
The reward is the same.
Right. Amen.
It's the same. He just gave 1 10, 1 5. That's not your reward. Mm-hmm. The reward is, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the rest.
Right.
That's the reward. The talents, that's what he expects from you. That is the talent he gave you to use in the world.
And remember, he only gave you what he knew you
could
do with.
That's right.
All right?
So think of that, Pastor. He gave the talent. He gave one. He gave one servant. Servant. His servant. He wasn't a Muslim.
Right.
It was his servant. And that servant misrepresented him. He said, you know, I heard you're a hard man. You're austere. No, he's not. He's the kindest creature I ever exist. Are you kidding me? And he misrepresented him, and he took that talent and he buried it. He was a false conversion. He did. He had it here, but it did not cause it to be.
I mean, carnal Christians won't get to heaven,
right? Yeah, that's, once again, that's pre-trib, that's dispensationalism.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, he's a Christian, but he's a carnal Christian. Really? Romans says to be carnally minded is to be enmity with God. But yet these people, the dispensationalists, don't tell you, well, he's saved, he's just a carnal Christian. Really? You don't get to go live how you want. How is it that God did this to me? Some dope, right? And he did this, but yet another guy, he can go live how he wants. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm the Lord, I change not.
Paul, I don't know where it is. I don't know the reference. But when Paul says, if this were not true, we of all men would be
more
miserable.
Absolutely.
There has to be a cost. There has to be a difference between being or so carnal Christian doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense because it's not real. But yet, and I know a lot of us have been affected by dispensationalism. And a lot of this, if you've heard of a preacher of rapture, that's dispensationalism. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
So, and I want some of the people that understand this to help you, because as we're teaching this, I want you to see it here, not just me standing up here and saying, this is this. I want you to see it in the scriptures,
right?
Because you're going to need it. Because these are the things they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, the day of the Lord is this whole thing. No, it's not. What? It's a secret rapture. No, it's not.
No.
See, you need to be able to defend it. That's like I said before. I just asked God. 2 Thessalonians bothered me.
Right.
For pre-trib.
Yeah.
It bothered me.
Yeah.
Clearly, it disagrees with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just asked him. And he started showing me. Mm-hmm. He gave me two words. Wrath and tribulation, which we'll look at. He gave me two words. And I started seeing, these people are lying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's on purpose or not, but there's something wrong with what they're saying.
Right.
But when he did that, he put me in the game. All of a sudden, I'm talking to people about end times, the rapture, the resurrection. He prepared me for that. He allowed me, Doug, to understand their view of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm debating them over it, I'm giving them scripture.
Right. And they hate it.
They hate it. I'm telling you, we see it, you can talk about it, you go to church, I love Lighthouse, Fundamental, King James, I absolutely love the people there. You could talk about anything. You could talk about Calvinism, Arminianism, you could bash the LDS, whatever, gap theories, you could talk about anything. You bring this up, get out, we don't want to hear this. And you're like, why wouldn't you want to hear this? This is about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why would you not want to hear this? So the second death. I just want to look at some verses. So actually, I cut myself off there. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Bless that right there.
Amen.
But number, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So that is. That's the second death. That's not the second resurrection. That's the second death. That they stand before him at the great white throne judgment, and he throws them into outer darkness, and the only people left is us.
I love this list that he gives, because he starts with fearful. The fearful.
That's right.
If you believe in the lie and are fearful, you're condemned.
That's right.
It
almost goes back to the one that buried the town.
Yes,
he was fearful of the cancer, right? So
that's
he buried
right.
That's the fearful.
That's right.
He was afraid. Yeah.
And you see, Wendy, when you understand this, that this is why in Revelation he tells you, blessed is he, three times he says, blessed is he who readeth and keepeth. You now start to understand parables, you start to now understand typology in the Old Testament. We brought it up Friday. There's typology in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. There's two types of men. One when you read your Bible, one is Jesus Christ, one is Antichrist. There's two women in your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
One is the bride, one is the whore of Babylon.
Right.
So when you read your Bible, remember that there's typology there.
Mm-hmm.
So turn to Jude.
So, the great white throne judgment, the second death, all of that is at the end of the thousand-year reign.
Yeah.
Okay? But question here. In Revelation 20, verse 7, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, end of the thousand-year reign,
mm-hmm.
Satan shall be loosed out of his prison.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now Satan is let loose. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. But I thought at that second death, there's nobody left. So I guess I'm not.
There will be.
After the second death, who is left on the earth?
Great question. I'm going to leave it on. Throw that ball in your court. Let's see what you say.
Well, first of all, they've already been resurrected.
Right.
Okay.
So now,
right before the 1,000 years are up,
yep.
Right before the great white throne judgment,
mm-hmm.
he allows Satan to come up on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he?
He is in.
Okay, so he's going to come up on the earth,
okay.
And he's going to gather people together because, first of all, the ones in hell, they already hate him. They want to make war against him. And he's always given Satan enough rope to hang himself. Satan always thinks he can have the victory. He's very prideful. Isaiah 14, very prideful. He's also going to gather people that are on the earth that are unbelievers.
Right.
Who know what's coming.
Who know what's coming.
It's their last
rage.
Yeah.
This is children right at the end of the battle.
Absolutely. Because you read it, it's instantaneous. There is no battle. There's no war. When he comes up and he gathers them, poof, it's over.
Yeah. When is Jesus rule with a rod of iron?
During
the 1,000 years.
During the 1,000 years.
There are.
So that's it. When he releases them and they come up, God strikes them, and then he brings them up at the great white throne judgment.
Remember, he says, the quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog.
That's right.
All right, now, we think of Gog and Magog as a landmass, spoken of in Ezekiel, right? Principalities. But these are angelic hosts.
That's right.
God and Magog, I mean.
Chief prince.
Chief prince.
Chief
prince, yeah.
He's a principality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not Putin.
Right. Amen.
He's a principality of an area.
Yeah.
He's a prince. A dimensional being, an angelic prince.
Like when Gabriel was fighting the prince of Persia.
That's right.
Right.
And then the prince
type.
Of Grisha will come. Don't forget, there is a hierarchy
mm-hmm.
in the demonic world. Fallen
Amen.
Angels, there's an order to it. They have an army. They're angelic beings. And they are also, you don't think there's a devil angel over America?
Oh, amen.
There are.
We abort
yeah.
babies.
Right.
Now they want to abort them after they're born. We tell the Sodomites, you're wrong, you're right, God's wrong.
Right. You
can't
do it.
I understood that, you know, Daniel 7, it says when the ancient days comes and then the judgment, right? And it says that twice in Daniel 7, right? And Matthew 25, starting in 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, which fits at Daniel,
right?
Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And it tells how he's going to judge them, and he sends the one group, the goats, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into the life eternal.
That's right. Yeah.
So I would think that they would get their judgment there and not live through the millennial.
Well, the judgment when Christ comes is, did you believe in him or not?
Yeah.
The great white throne is according to your
it's
level.
It's a scarlet spray. Are you in Christ or not? It's real.
That's right.
Cutting. It's not about works.
That's right.
Some people may be confused because at that time they will say to the Lord, 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 have we not?
That's right.
And Jesus says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity.
Yeah. They were false converts.
Right.
They weren't saying, they weren't Buddhists.
Right.
They weren't Muslims.
They believed that
they were calling
him
Lord.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what, you had it here.
Amen.
It never went here.
You draw a line to me with your mouth, but your heart is wrong.
So I just wanted to, so you have the thousand, here's the 1,000-year reign. Right?
Can I,
so here...
That's at the end, right?
Right.
You're just
Yeah, here's 1,000 years. Here's the great right throne at the end, right? So as Ash is looking for this event. So there are people living on the earth that are unbelievers with us.
Right.
We're ruling over them. They're already resurrected. These people under the earth in hell are already resurrected too, right? At this event, God allows them to come up and compass the earth. He Satan gathers the unbelievers to him. He gathers the ones in hell to him for war. There is no war. It's over. God just strikes them and brings them up into the great right throne judgment. Make sense?
Well, verse 9 of Revelation 20, and they went up. Excuse me, as I'm choking down this wonderful bread. Thank you, that great bread. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and that beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So, the picture here is that Satan's released. He gathers all of the unbelievers that are kept locked in the prisons of Hades. Brought up, they surround Jerusalem,
that's right.
City,
yep.
And God just simply says, drop dead.
It's over.
That's right.
It's
just, that's right. He just devours them. There's no war.
Right.
He's just devouring
them.
And he's eating them up.
Well,
he's devouring them.
Think about every time the fire of heaven came down in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Came down, it slapped up the water and took up the altar that Elijah made. And then in Gideon, when he made the sacrifice, fire came down and took up that.
That's right.
He consumed it right there off
right.
the spot.
I have a question. With the works, okay, so people are going to be judged according to their belief in Christ or non-belief, and then it steps over to the works with the great white throne judgment. And I'm not understanding what the purpose of judging the works is once they've already been.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! I just know the books are open. Well, let's read.
Well, I think you might be misunderstanding works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the work that gets you born again?
Belief.
Right. That's the work. Jesus paid the price. He did all of it, all the heavy lifting at Calvary and in the resurrection.
Yeah.
Your work is whatever God has given you after you have accepted the sacrifice. All right, so God says, all right, Nance, what I need you to do is I need you to love folks, minister, stuff like that. Here's your talent. I'm going to give it to you. Now, he lets go. He says, I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to go away. Now, what you did with your salvation, what you did with your gift of the Holy Spirit, God's going to come back and he's going to say, all right, it's time to give an account. Right? And that's the work he's looking at.
That's right.
Not of works that you have done, but it's the works that he did. And so it's going to be real simple. You were obedient or you were disobedient. You were in or you were out. You know, there'll be no question on that day. And when he shows you.
When he appears, he judges whether you were for him or against him.
Right.
This judgment here at the great red throne, they are judged. Yeah.
Only for unbelievers.
It's only for unbelievers. So think of this. I know people that are good people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They're not saved. Split hell wide open.
That's right. They're not saved. So their judgment, and it's not a good judgment no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're going to suffer, you're going to burn eternally. But their level of judgment would not be Adolf Hitler.
Right.
Or Judas Iscariot. Right? These levels of judgment are at the great, great throne. It says right here, verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled. And there was found no place for them. Them are not us. Okay? And I saw the dead, the second dead, the damned, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. They're not in there.
Right. But he's double-checking.
And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books,
right,
according to their works.
Right.
So the damned get judged according to their works.
Oh.
But even the least damned is not good.
I was good enough.
Yeah, right.
I didn't
right.
cuss. I didn't cheat. I didn't do any of the lists. I was never. I live by the Ten Commandments.
I.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't need him.
Yes. I was good enough.
I know some great moral people.
Yes. Me too.
They rejected
better
him.
Than me.
If you reject Christ, you're guilty of deicide.
Yes.
That's right.
You've never been reconciled.
Did everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Deicide.
Say it again.
If you reject Christ, you're guilty of deicide. You're guilty of the homicide of God.
That's right.
God gave the way and God gave reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
If you reject that, then you're guilty of his blood.
Well, and that was the opportunity I had with Shelley yesterday. She said, well, you know, there's good people. Why would Christ reject? I said, okay, if a house was burning and your daughter ran in there and saved people and she died, how would you feel if they say she didn't die for me? Christ paid it all. It's about him. So to reject this is blasphemy.
That's right. That's right.
Which is the only unforgivable
sin.
That's right. Well, exactly. What did Jesus say? All blasphemy against the Father and the Son shall be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven. That is people saying, I'm saved and there's no fruit.
Right.
That's blasphemy. Mm-hmm.
This great white throne judgment includes levels for the people that are condemned. Is that what that's all about?
Okay, so the second death, Jude 11 and 12.
What chapter?
Stu, Matthew 23:15. Okay, so Jude 11 and 12. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perish at the gainsaying of Korah. Those are spots in your feast of charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit. What does that say?
Without fruit. Twice dead.
Twice dead.
Yeah.
Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. Plucked her up their dead. We're born twice.
Mm-hmm.
Die once.
Right.
We've all heard this. Yeah. Born twice. Die once. They are born once and die twice. But the second death is life.
it's damnation.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it's eternal too.
It's eternal.
So hell is just a temporary holding place. That's the appetizer for the lake of fire.
That's right. That's right.
Can we liken the second judgment, the great one judgment, in our I always view the way that creation works as the very aspect of God, because it is of God that was made. When we set our judgment to courts, we judge first whether it's guilty or not guilty.
Right.
And then later on, the punishment is set for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's another judgment, but it's the actual, now what's this word yet? What's the
that's
punishment?
Right.
Is that the way of understanding what we're seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, I think that we have this linear way of looking at things. You have to try to step into that dimension. And, you know, let me ask you something. Is heaven perfect? There's devils out there.
Right now,
there's devils out there.
Yeah, at this point in time.
Right? There's a war in heaven.
Amen.
In Revelation 12.
Yeah.
Right? As a matter of fact, that starts Great Tribulation. The war in heaven actually starts it.
All right. Now, I think often we get the idea of heaven. I love the way you put it, because there is a perfection in the heavens.
Right.
There is a perfection there. And that it will come down as the new Jerusalem adorned as a bride for her husband. In that, it is perfect.
That's right.
All right. Those who trust in Christ can be made pillars in the temple of God.
And Job, right? Satan was roaming to and fro.
Yes.
To and fro.
And the sons of God,
right,
spoke to,
yeah,
God. And he said, Satan, what you doing?
Yeah.
Cap, who's the accuser of the brethren?
What's that?
Who's the accuser of the brethren?
Lucifer.
It means he has access to the throne.
Yeah,
he's the worst wicked thing ever.
That's when the Great Tribulation starts.
That's right. The Great Tribulation starts in heaven. That's why Revelation 7:9, that's everybody.
Yeah.
A great multitude which no man can number, of all tribes. All, that's everybody's been resurrected. Where did they come out of, Wendy? Great Tribulation. And I know you believe me. So, Stu, you got 23 fights? Okay, so now he's going to explain it, right? 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered, it's none of your business. See, that's not the God I know. When there's a mystery, he's going to explain it to you.
Right.
Okay? The field, I say that because somebody said on a Wednesday night at Lighthouse, it's none of our business when the second coming is. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that had sold them is the devil. When's the harvest?
The end of the world.
How many ends of the world are there? Is there an end here, an end here, and an end here? Or is the end here?
There's only one end.
And the reapers are the angels. What does Jesus do? He descends, gathers the angels, and they gather the people to them, right? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous go forth as the Son in the kingdom of the Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There's your second death. This is when they're already judged and they're going to get appointed to this event here. One more, Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, 16 to 19. And it shall come to pass, Zechariah 14, 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations shall come against Jerusalem, even that go up year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So you can see, there's going to be people on the earth that are going to be told, go keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they're not going to do it. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain, there shall be the plague wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come up and not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come up not to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells and upon the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord, and the house shall be light unto bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and shall seed them. In that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord. So the point I'm just trying to make here is during this 1,000 years, you can clearly see there's unbelievers there. Right? Go ahead.
The New Jerusalem that speaks of coming down, and it speaks that all the believers are gathered into the New Jerusalem. And it speaks to all the wheat is gathered into his barns. And it speaks here to that very same thing. The house of the Lord, there'll be no Canaanite. It says the gates are open, but yet no unbeliever can pass into the Jerusalem.
Right, amen.
So as the new Jerusalem comes down at the beginning judgment, at the showing of the Lord, the new Jerusalem comes down and the precious are gathered within that.
Right.
But the world is not complete and it's burning. And I'm setting this as counsel, not knowing this.
And
during that time, the unrighteous still walk the earth in the glorified body. And that 1,000 years takes place during that. But we have already been taken into the new land, the new Jerusalem, that place to be protected from that. Am I reading that right?
Well, first of all, I see what you're saying. The point is that he's going to refine the earth when he comes here.
And that's that 1,000 years is because everything takes a process. I learned from the scriptures to this point that when he says this will happen, yes, it will happen, but it's not being.
Yeah, there's this order.
It's a process. It's like our salvation. We're enlightened, but yet salvation is the rest of our life up until the point we aren't actually saved until we're actually resurrected.
That's true. A lot. That's excellent. There's a process of time.
That's right.
Is that what we're seeing at 1,000 years?
So here,
by the rule of iron, he rules the world with a rod of iron. Is that the purification that takes place until the end, and then the sentence is pronounced on those that were unrighteous? The
right. So when Christ, this is when Christ comes, right? This is the rapture, the resurrection. There's an order to that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you read Revelation, he breaks it down to the hour.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an order to this. Ash, what has to happen first before he appears?
Satan is let loose?
No, the thousand. That's the millennial reign. What happens right before Christ appears?
The
sun and the moon.
The sixth trumpet.
The sun and the moon are darkened. Right.
See,
that's what it says. Before he appears, the sun and the moon are darkened before the great and notable day of the Lord.
This is not great.
Before the great and notable day of the Lord, the sun. So we're going to see the sun and the moon darkened. The planet is going to wake up to darkness. The electricity is not going to work. The candles aren't going to work. It's a thick darkness like Egypt felt at that time. So the world is going to wake up to it. They're going to know there's something wrong. But us, we know he's about to come.
Right.
Right.
Right. Even in that, in the picture you laid out of Egypt, when that darkness came, there was still light in the ocean.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So what does Christ do at this event? He rips the veil between heaven and earth wide open, right? Luke 17 says, he comes as lightning from the east to the west. Revelation 6 says he opens heaven open, wide open. You can see God the Father sitting on the throne and Christ coming. So he rips the veil open. This is the order of things that have to take place. He starts calling the resurrected unto him in the air, in the clouds. Right? So now people are being resurrected unto him. We get caught up to him. Right?
And that's at the beginning. That's at the beginning of that 1,000 years.
This is the day of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. That's at the beginning.
But there's a 1,000 year reign. I'm missing something here.
When he comes and reigns. He has not come yet. Right? So we're caught up to him here. We're all here in the clouds. Now he's going to pour his wrath out. Now he's going to pour the wrath out on the earth. And what does he do with the earth as he's pouring it out? He's refining it. He's burning it. 2 Peter chapter 3 makes it clear. The elements will melt with fervent heat. He's going to refine the whole planet.
But we're going to be there with him as he's doing that in our resurrected body.
Absolutely. We're here.
Close.
That's right. We're in the clouds. We're here. And as he's coming, he's refining the planet. Well, turn to Revelation 15. Okay, Revelation 15, 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues in them. What?
The wrath of God.
Wrath of God. Filled the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with what?
Fire.
And I saw them that got victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea, having harps of gold. God. So what do you have? You have him, he's coming, there's a sea of glass, we're caught up, it's mingled with fire. It's not fire you're going to cook on your barbecue. It's a holy fire that is refining the earth.
Right.
Even he said, you're going to be refined by that fire. Right? Once again, for us, it's a purifying holy fire. For them, it's torment.
I think you should just read Matthew 24:29-31. Because that really gives the holding. That's pretty clear, I think.
What is it,
Matthew 24:29-31.
Okay, so 29. Okay. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, right? The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Okay?
Yeah.
That's actually perfect. That was great, Kev. This is the event. But when he comes, he's pouring his wrath out, and what is his wrath? It's fire,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the sea of glass that's mingled with fire is now coming to the earth. And as it's coming, he's purifying, he's burning the earth. He's melting it with a fervent heat. That's 2 Peter.
Is that New Jerusalem?
We're New Jerusalem. We are.
Yeah, we are.
We are New Jerusalem.
We are New Jerusalem, yeah.
Turn to Revelation 21. So look at Revelation 21:9, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is that? It's us. The bride, the Lamb's wife. That's us, right? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending from heaven of God. Descending. So look at 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, holy Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's it. That's what Val was reading earlier. This is this event. And what's he doing? He's creating the new heaven and the new earth. And as he's coming down, he's regenerating the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
where is that thousand? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No.
Where is that
thousand years fit in that?
So now he comes down here. Now he's going to sit on the throne to judge, right? And we are sitting with him in judgment. Now the thousand year reign starts, where we are kings and priests, judging us and ruling under Christ's authority. You look confused.
Because I really thought that was before then.
The way that I understand, maybe it'll be easier for you to understand my question. I've always understood that Jesus comes forth out of the earth and separates the believer from the unbeliever.
Right.
And then he begins a thousand year reign. That believer that's separated is gathered together in New Jerusalem and kept in that land, just like Christ brought, or just like God brought his people out of the world into the land full of milk and honey. That was a precursor to what was going to happen. That was a pre-understanding, a shadow of what would happen.
Right.
And then, once again, he did it in a spiritual sense. He took them off, he took us out of the world again under a spiritual understanding. We're the body of Christ in that. And this is the final show of it. There's been three witnesses. God the Father came forth and witnessed under the law and bringing out of Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ came forth and he brought forth witness. He brought forth the understanding of the Spirit, what the shadow of the law really meant in the Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit comes forth as a witness unto the true Jerusalem that
right.
we will be, that glorified body. And that thousand year reign was a period of time where we were in New Jerusalem, kept from those that still walked the earth, even though they were in a glorified body. And at the end, sentence was produced under the great white throne, and that sentence was when the actual casting into the lake of fire happened.
So when Christ comes, and New Jerusalem comes to the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in
right.
heaven. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Is that
right.
the beginning of the thousand years?
The beginning of it. It's when he comes, and then, but during the thousand years, let's say this is the thousand years,
that's
even though our home base is Jerusalem,
yeah,
we will be rulers
right.
of parts of the world.
Right.
right.
And our home base will be, you'll just go there. And the world will be dark, and we will be the light shining forth from that.
Before the event.
It says in 23 of that same chapter, and there where you were, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it, the Lamb is its light. And it says that man is the glory of God.
Right.
Woman is the glory of man. Man is the glory of God.
Right.
And we shine forth like the sun.
Absolutely.
That rule of 1,000 years with a rod of iron takes place while we're in New Jerusalem, or our New Jerusalem, but we're used in that ruling that he is ruling from.
Absolutely.
So the great right throne is at the end of that time.
Yeah.
And the beginning of that 1,000 years is the establishment of Christ coming down.
Yeah. And don't forget, he's ruling and reigning on earth with a rod.
Right. Right.
That means there are people that are rebellious against him.
So the lake of fire doesn't take place until the very end.
Right. Right. Hey, don't pay attention to this. This is the second coming. This is the great right throne. This is a 1,000-year reign. Heavenly Jerusalem is now on the earth.
Okay.
But it's dimensional.
Right.
Right? We have now that dimension, this dimension, time, space, and matter we live in right now is gone.
Okay.
Now dimension of the kingdom of heaven and the earth regenerated, that's on the earth. That's home base.
Okay.
So you're going to be a king or a priest. Either you're going to minister to things in the altar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to be a king of Caledonia. Because there's going to be people that have rejected Christ that need to be put in order. And there's going to be activity going on during the earth at that time.
It seems like to me that 1,000 years is the actual purification of the earth. That's what I'm gathering from it, that even though it says it's an event, there's a space of time for that event to happen.
So you believe that this whole time is being regenerated?
I'm kind of questioning.
Well, I'm asking you.
It seems to me that 1,000-year time is the purification of the earth. So it's like when you build a house. I say, well, I built a house, and I did, but it took me years to build it.
Right.
So he says there's a purification of the earth, and there is, but it took a period of time for it to take place. Is that what I'm looking at?
Well, I mean, it makes it clear that Jesus says in Matthew 19, said, when I come, how many times does he come? Does he come here and here?
Mm.
He comes here.
Right.
I come in the regeneration of the earth, and you'll sit upon thrones.
But is that regeneration an understanding that it takes that 1,000 years to do it, or is it a moment in time that happens?
I think it happens in a moment in time, because clearly,
I mean, we're
you need, a resurrected planet for your resurrected body to live on. So how can it be a process if you're already resurrected on that planet? Don't forget, it says, blessed are the God our Father according to that's not my word. He says, they which are accounted to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like the angels, can die no more. So,
but it says down in Jerusalem, down in New Jerusalem, in the 21st chapter there of Revelation, the 25th verse, it says, its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, to make that statement is to also have the counteractive of that statement to be true, that there are those who aren't chosen that still exist outside.
But they're not allowed into heaven, into Jerusalem.
Right.
They're not allowed in.
But there has to be a time period there that they haven't been cast into the lake of fire. They're still roaming the earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that 1,000 years.
Yeah, that's 1,000 years.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get off in my head here.
The kings and priests. So my understanding is that there were two that were king and priest. That was what tells about the time of Christ.
Right.
But you're using those terms are being used for us.
Peter.
The Bible says it.
Right.
Yeah. So you're saying, so my question is, where does Israel, where does the church, is there, I guess I'm unclear, that's a very specific role that is in the scriptures, you know, Chazaldeck and Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, I'm just not
your role
how we're using those terms.
Well, we're kings and priests right now. We're actually priests of God right now. We minister to people the things of God. We are actually called a holy priesthood right now by Christ.
So when Asher read that it was he was talking to the Levites.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're going to have a role. They're going to play a role in this. He's not done with Israel. I hope I've not made this idea that we replaced Israel.
Guess what? I'm not clear on where the church versus Israel, where did they mesh, where now we are the priests and kings. Is that when we become saved because Christ was priest?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But because the Levites then,
yeah, he's gonna,
it's no longer.
Well, that's what I say. And Lauren, when you read, when you study, how much time are we?
5 minutes.
When you study Ezekiel, Christ is going to rebuild the temple. And there's going to be sacrifices during the millennial reign.
Right.
There's going to be sacrifices. And I personally think those are the Levites that are going
to
do it.
Right, because the Gentiles were never allowed to make sacrifices or even enter into the holy place.
Absolutely.
But is that during the millennial reign or the 7 year tribulation?
What's that?
Millennial.
During the millennial.
Well, they're going to build their temple here, right? Clearly. Because he steps in the temple here. But when he comes here, he burns that temple up. He destroys it. And then when you read Ezekiel 40 and on,
and you look at the dimensions of that, that is different than every temple that has ever been built.
That's right.
So it's a new temple.
It's a new temple. It's what he built.
And they'll still have sacrifices then?
Yeah, but don't forget, do those sacrifices pay the price for sin? No, they're going to be ceremonial, right? That's all they are.
Looking
back.
The Hebrew Levite.
Just one verse, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, we'll pick it up at 17. Once again, this is the understanding that everybody is resurrected at that time. Everyone. And he also applies it, Lauren, to the new creation, too. So look at 17. These are the same verses we just read in Revelation, right? For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard, and heard were the voice of crying. And there shall be no more infant of days. Same event, a new heaven and new earth. There's no more childbearing, no more infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. You are going to fill your days. Why do you live forever? Right? The next two verses, these are people, this is not a toddler. The child shall die at 100, second death. He's already been appointed to the second death. He's 100 years old. He's already appointed to the second death. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. So they're already cursed unto the second death, and there is no more childbearing.
Why does it specify infant of age? Why not just say infants? Is there a...
That's what mine says. No more shall infant from there live but a few days. What do other people have?
Mine says there will be no more infant of days. Yeah.
See, when I read infant of days, I think infant of days meaning a short time.
But he's tying it into people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
For the child shall die in 100 years, yeah.
Yeah, so so you have two groups of people. You have the cursed, the child, and the sinner, which there's more of them than there is of us, and then you have the blessed. The old man shall not fill his days. They will not fill your days. You'll live
forever into eternity. Does it make sense? How do we do it?
You did a good job.
Does it help? Do we get a better understanding? It's all that matters. It's, you know, like I said, to me, I just want you to see it in the scriptures because I want you to see it. And I say it again. I'm not beyond rebuke. I don't have it all figured out. There's still gray areas for me. And I don't think that I've got everything figured out, but I just believe that.
You never will.
That's right. And I do. I think the comments and the questions are great because we come together, and it's ironing, sharpening iron. You know a little bit. You know a little bit. I know a little bit. We all come together and see what the Word of God says. But I know this. This is a lie.
Right.
And I think, how many people believed this before he started kicking me? How many people believe this now?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to pray and then, Father God, we are so thankful for the Word of God. We are thankful that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That when we open up your book, we are reading Jesus. We are fellowshipping with Jesus. We are hearing from him. And I thank you, Father God, that you have sent him into the world to pay the price for sinful people like us who are not deserving. We know what we deserve. We deserve death and hell. But because of your kindness and your mercy and your love for us, you have sent your Son to take our sins on the cross. And we are so thankful for that. How could we ever repay that? Lord, we repay it by believing in him. And we are so thankful that he rose from the dead 3 days later. And that is our promise. That he is going to come for us one day in his resurrected body, and we are going to get caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him with our resurrected bodies. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for this book. I thank you for this group, Father God, the fellowship that you are producing here. Lord, put a hedge of protection around us and open up avenues and doors to witness to lost people, to family members, because the Son is coming. He's coming. Amen. Is he coming? And it'll cause us to be prepared for it. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.